and welcome to episode 161 of the Awesome Comics Podcast, a place where the small press makes one hell of a big noise. I'm Vince Hunt, creator of The Red Mask from Mars, and this week I'm joined by the creator of the webcomic Vanguard and the vigilante story Viper, Dan Butcher.
Hello.
And the man known on the street as No Refunds, it's Tony Esmond.
Hello.
Yes.
It's hard to get refunds, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
In a alleyway.
Unless you give out receipts.
Yeah, some people do ask for them.
Yeah,
yeah. Fucking hell. Quick through that on the odd exes. That'd go down well.
Yeah, I've got a story about that I can't tell on air.
Oh, you've always got stories you can't tell on air.
So I'll tell you tomorrow at our table.
Ah, yes. And we'll tell you where we're going to be. Actually, no, this is pointless because this is after the fact.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about it afterwards. Anyway, this week we also have a guest with us to help us talk about a topic that they actually suggested.
Yeah,
we have one of the co-founders of the Sinister Horror Company, and he's a novelist. Yes, prose. Oh, he's legit, and he's responsible for such titles
as
Pro. Yeah, Pro. Yeah. Just leave it as Pro. Such titles as Maldition, Mr. Robespierre. The Loch Ness adventure story Discovered. He's also my co-conspirator on things like Devil Kickers and Murder Road. Yes, it's Daniel Mark Chant. Hello, sir.
Hello. Is everyone all right?
Hi, Dan.
Good, Dan.
This is funny for me because he's putting
he's
on his phone
polite,
voice.
Yeah, he is.
He's very
polite. Even I can tell that. Yeah.
Oh, of course. This is for audiences, not for you.
Yeah, I don't even have any outtakes that I can use against him. He's that clever. So
don't know about that, to be fair.
He's friends with you, so
already that's not, it's not even been 5 minutes.
That was quite mean.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. I haven't seen anything.
I liked it.
I set the stall that early there.
Yeah. Start as you mean to go on. This could be an interesting week for me. But you know what's always interesting as well?
Comic House.
Comic House.
Yay!
Hey.
Yay! It's Comic House. Yeah. Yes, this show, as always, is brought to you with the help of our fine sponsors. Yes, we do indeed have sponsors called Comic House.
What's
Dan
going
is,
on?
Well, our guest is currently being arrested at the moment.
Yeah, sorry about that.
He's in a bunker, staying away from the police, aren't you, Dan? But
I am indeed.
You should be all right for the next few hours. But I tell you what's almost illegal. The amount of great comics you can find on Comic House. Anyway, yes, they help sponsor the show, and not only
going
do they
so badly.
I know, it's going terribly, isn't it? But Comic House help put this show out free every week, and they keep us legit. And there's loads of great comics on Comic House. You can go onto their website, comichouse.com, and you can sell your comics through Comic House, and they only charge a penny of commission. So, and that's just hard copies. But if you like digital comics, as we all do, I'm going to be talking about one later. We've read quite a few digital books recently, haven't we?
Yeah.
Quite a lot. And there's actually, I've read a couple on Comic House which are brilliant, which I'll talk about on future shows. But they've got a massive library of titles that you can read. What's on there at the moment, Dan?
Well, in this week's update email, we've got 100% biodegradable, Fraser Fanzine, which looks ace. We're going to have to check that one out. The Amazing Age, The Show, Stormhaven Tex, Bruce, which looks like it's kind of a play on Jaws. Skull by our friend Jen Yulbert, Heroes of the World and Beyond, issue 1, Brigantia, Face Down in the Mud, Heavy Manners, and Croak. So there's a whole slew of new titles on there this week.
Oh, amazing. And I know, I've read a couple on there recently. I got back in the Comic House. I like to give it a good couple of weeks, store up some nice new titles, and then check it out. Do you ever do that?
Yeah, certainly do.
I do that too.
So there you go, Comic House has loads. So if you go to comichouse.com, you can find out more about their free trial. Is it a 14-day free trial? I believe it is.
I believe so.
There's for £3 a month subscription, you get access to all those titles. So there you go. Somehow, some way, I made it through.
Like, you God did awful. Not. We had to restart twice.
Oh, why do you... You could never be a magician, could you, Tony?
I sent you a magic trick today, and I worked out what your favourite film is.
Yeah, I like that one. You're going to tell that at the table at Troops?
Yeah, I'm going to test everyone who comes and buys a copy with my magic trick.
Or who did buy a copy, because as we say right
now, yes.
In the past, yesterday, as we record this, or no... No, hang on. It was yesterday. Just
keep, as we release it.
As
yeah.
we release it, yeah. Anyway, we went to the True Believers Summer Variant. And it was great, wasn't it, Tony?
Oh, we had such a good time, didn't we?
Amazing. It was wonderful.
Yeah. That dance you did was brilliant. Because you promised to do one and you haven't done it yet.
That was a great reaction.
Because I got nothing to say about it. Yeah. Well, when when I'm back to 100% health again, I'll do a dance for you, Tony. Oh dear. So yeah, apologies to anyone who did see me dance, and thank you to everyone who spoke to us. You never know; we might have got some audio that we'll put into a future show. So
just pack them up. So hopefully we will.
Yeah,
we were both doing a panel each.
Yes, and the panels went really well, didn't they, Tony?
Oh, brilliant. And I sent you the intro I was going to use today.
I know. It was astonishing.
Yeah. I sent it to Stuart, and Stuart emailed me back saying, you've nailed it.
Yeah, that intro, kind of. I can imagine people looking at each other and then just raising their eyebrows. Just I'll see how that went down.
Yeah, good. I probably won't use that one I sent you, to be fair. No. There you go.
Yeah.
I think it ends up with fight me. Did I just say fight me?
No, you're telling other people to go out and have a fight.
That's it, yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. You kind of like everyone's Tyler Durden, aren't you?
That's a great advice for a happy Briton.
Yeah.
Go out.
That's nerd, isn't it?
Go out and have a fight.
Isn't that what they say in Croydon quite a lot?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's more doing than saying.
Yeah.
Class.
It's unspoken, that.
Yeah. So the opposite to the comic world.
Well, there's nothing but love in the comic world. You know that.
There's not. Well, it's not all love, is it?
No. If you do look on Twitter, there seems to be quite a lot of hate.
Anyway, we're not about the hate here.
We've got a theme this week.
We do have a kind of theme.
From DC, we're calling him this week, aren't we? DC.
Yeah, we're calling him DC.
Because the
last time he was on the show, we were going to call him... What were we going to call him?
He was going to be Dan and Guns was going to be Guns.
Yeah.
But it didn't... And then we stopped calling Dan Guns and we ended up just calling them both Dan and it got confusing.
Yeah.
Why are there so many Dans in my life?
Are there other ones?
Too damn good.
Oh, he's good, isn't he? Any good? Any
good? I've had about 40 years of fun with my name, so I can pop up 40.
Oh, 40.
40 years of fun. That's the name of Dan Butcher's
biography. Yeah. 40 years of fun. And some violence.
Yeah. Vigilante fun. We're going to call Daniel Mark Chan DC this week. So keep an eye on how many minutes we manage to keep that up before we forget it.
One minute.
Yeah.
To be fair, we've already lasted longer than I thought.
Yeah, which is pretty much the motto of this show because it's lasted far longer than that. That's the way it works.
What do you think of Mother Teresa and dead kittens? And that makes me go longer.
Oh, Tony. Anyway,
this week's show.
This week's show, yes. Now, I was talking to DC recently, and he suggested a potential topic.
It sounds forced. It's sounding forced.
Why is it sounding forced?
I don't know.
I mean, my friendship with him is pretty forced.
Oh, yes, it is. I was going to say, force right up your arsehole. You can cut that bit, obviously.
Oh dear! Don't make me edit any more than I need to.
Sorry,
but it does mean that I've got an apology out of someone. Who can believe that? Anyway, DC suggested that we talk about what sort of comics would you recommend to people that don't read comics. Now we've always had this sort of conversation, haven't we? Like, what would you recommend to those uninitiated, those non-converts, as it were? And we've talked about it a little bit on this show before, haven't we?
Yes.
And it's definitely an interesting topic of conversation. We put the shout out on the older Twitter sphere, and we got some very interesting recommendations and ideas that we'll discuss and pick apart, maybe, as the conversation goes on.
Mm.
But in order to make it a little bit more fun, we've got four scenarios for you.
Yes. We've written scenarios, haven't we? Because we decided you can't just... It depends on the person, doesn't it, as to what you would recommend them. So we decided to create four people.
Four people, and therefore four jumping off points for conversation about what comics are good. And this could be mainstream, small press, indie, etc. And I know, obviously, DC, he's not so much in the scene at the moment. He's coming back with a vengeance. But he's been out of the comic scene as well, so it's going to be a learner. You know, I think he wanted to learn a bit himself as well. So, although, you know, he's got props because his favourite book is Preacher, so we know he's all right.
There you go.
I think for like a sort of, not say an outsider, but for somebody that hasn't really sort of read comic books regularly for quite some time, besides perhaps, you know, the go-to classics, I think that's kind of what started it really, was to sort of say to Vince, okay, well, what would you recommend if I'm sort of coming in now, sort of indie and sort of big name books, what would I pick up to sort of get back on track? So I guess that's the idea.
Do you think, DC, that we need to take Preacher out of the equation? Because we probably all got it written down. It's the easy one, isn't it?
You ask anybody about comic books, you always get Watchmen, Preacher, probably Dark Knight Returns.
Maybe Hair Loss, something like that.
Something with Alan Moore's name on it, guaranteed.
Or Sandman, I'm going to say as well.
Sandman. And maybe Animal Man, perhaps, with the Grant Morrison stuff.
Most of those I wouldn't recommend for a new reader.
Yeah,
has to be said.
That's what's always interesting.
Preacher, I would. I would with Preacher.
That's maybe one of the rare ones that is so critically acclaimed and so lauded that I think is still open to non-comic readers. Because I know, for instance, people will talk about, I don't know, like you say, Watchmen. If I didn't read comics, I wouldn't know where to start with Watchmen. Do you know what I mean? And there's prose pieces and there's lots of stuff going on. It's not, I mean, it can be a bit of a heavy read, even if you're really in comics, you know.
If you kind of know your comics and you know kind of a bit superhero lore, you get a lot more out of it than...
Yeah, you do. See, Dark Knight's actually not an easy read, are they? It's a very dense read, isn't it?
Mm,
you know?
Yeah.
I think the thing with what really fucks me off with those two comics, especially Watchmen, is people go, I don't read comics, I read graphic novels. And you go, oh, right, what graphic novels have you read? And they say Watchmen. And I say, well, that was a 12-issue series comic.
Yeah.
You know, about... And it was basically the recreation of other comic characters that he wasn't allowed to use.
Yeah.
You know, so it's essentially a comic. But I think if you read it in issues, if you're reading it sort of monthly, I think it was a bit irregular, but if you're reading it sort of monthly, it'd probably make more sense. I read it as it came out.
Yeah.
And because it's a whodunit, isn't it, Watchmen? You know, you don't... Mm. Not everyone grasps that, but... Sort of reading it to the as a monthly thing was an experience, but comics were a bit denser then, I think.
Yeah,
decompression hadn't taken hold by that point.
That's definitely the case with Dark Knight when you read that.
Yeah, it's a long read.
It's a long read, and there's not, as memory serves, there's not many panels that are just action. A lot of it is like very heavy text heavy.
Yeah,
and I can only think of like the Superman fight and when he's in the mud hole. Where it kind of gets
mutants,
it gets pulled out a little, like the fights. But otherwise, it's very kind of a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, I saw an article this week in the Guardian. I saw it getting retweeted.
I saw that one
about comics you should read, and I'm like, really, I should read those comics, really? Mm-hmm. You know, and it was a load of sort of highfalutin, someone just trying to show how intelligent they were by saying. You know what I mean?
That article does the rounds every couple of years, like someone rewrites essentially the same material. What they should be doing is then, like, here's some 10 new titles that you should be, looking at or something, and
Know, this sort of thing. But, a lot of it I just thought, really?
I think a lot of those articles tend to be a little bit navel-gazing. They sort of... they tend to be sort of to sort of make people sitting around eating their avocado on toast together make themselves feel knowledgeable about what they're reading, because they don't have to. There's probably they'd feel a bit of guilt if they were reading just a superhero book that was just fun, because they want something that's got layers or meanings, or at least is perceived to be that. You know, what's wrong with just enjoying a comic?
And then one of them was Tamara Drew, and I thought, what possible reason would you think that I should be reading Tamara Drew? You know, just about a load of people living
send
in
your emails bit. To yeah. Awesome comments.
Please write in. Tell me why I should read it. Oh, to be fair, I've tried to read it and I've thought a load of shite. But there you go.
But recently we've been reading some of the Europe comics.
Yeah, we have.
I would happily recommend any of the ones I've come across.
Yeah.
They're great. They're absolutely self-contained, world-building, great comics.
And with that in mind, though, it'd be quite interesting, for instance, how would... Because it's a completely different culture over there when it comes to the sequential medium,
yeah.
isn't it? So, you know, how
I got a couple in my choices, I've got to tell you.
But how how different would this question be, like, from those countries? Do you know what I mean? It would be a completely different ball game, wouldn't
complete,
it?
Yeah, no-brainer. Yeah, you know, I think a lot of it.
You know, cause,
yeah, I think you're right.
But they're not going to do what we're going to do. Oh, no. No.
it's like theatre for your mind.
It's like, whose line is it anyway? Where everyone's drunk.
Yeah. And you need to be drunk to listen to it.
Yes. So, I mean, these new readers, I'm not calling them questions because they're new readers. They're jumping off points. We'll probably get to genuine, serious conversation in a minute, but... I dare you not to laugh at each one of them. So
they're a little bit of a cliche. They're all a bit of a cliche, aren't they? You know, purposely so.
Yeah,
but challenging, challenging. Like for if you got proposed this question by a person like this, you'd be. Oh, I at least was like bloody hell. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
It took a bit of thought actually. Some of them. I came up with stuff, and I ended up like once I got one thing, I sort of jumped about to some other ones, you know. But yeah, let's see how we get on.
Okay, right, are we all ready, folks? Let's get on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Got to get into character.
Yeah.
You understand why in a minute. New reader one. You are sitting at your desk at work, minding your own business, and Bazza, the 35-year-old office joker, comes up to you. For a chat.
All right, wanker. You like comics, don't you? Recommend me something.
Bazza is a bit of an office character. He likes football on a Saturday and getting drunk down the local branch of the Frenchman's Fingers. He doesn't really understand the scene, but has watched a couple of the TV shows and movies. You're the expert. What do you recommend?
I see. Right.
As textbook.
Yeah,
I want that on the clip show.
Yeah, that is brilliant. That's definitely going on the clip show.
Yeah,
that's like an extra on the DVD. That is. I'll go one of mine, and then we can jump around. Do you want to do that?
Oh God! Right. Yeah. Okay, let's go for it. Yeah.
Right. Bearing in mind, he is this sort of person who will have seen stuff like Civil War or maybe the Shield movie, the Shield TV series, something like that. I'm going to go with something nice and plain and obvious and raucous and adventure-driven and easy read, slightly adult, and I'm going to go with the first Ultimates run.
Oh, that's a good choice, yeah.
Interesting, yeah.
Mark Miller, Brian Hitch, nice and readable. There's no huge subtext to it. It's just like smash them up, you know. Slightly, it's kind of an adult turn on a lot of the heroes, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you enjoyed that, you could jump around a bit amongst some other titles as well, I think.
Yeah, and I think Bazza, certainly, he watches... it's someone that watches the TV shows and movies, so therefore knows that. This is the potential audience. I mean, I'll be honest, Bazza sounds like a wanker. But but he watches the TV shows and the movies, and this is the audience that we've talked about so many times of, like, how can you capitalize on these people just to, like, get them into the scene? You know, we're not trying to... We sound like a cult when we say that. But, these people are potentially open to reading, like, more, you know, a superhero book. You know, the superhero books are probably the ones that they may give a chance rather than a slice of life... You know, the self-made hero type.
He's probably got a bit of a disposable income, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's got a reasonably good job, and you know, he's got the ability to spend money on stuff. Yeah.
But he's not going to read something like My Friend Dharma.
He's not.
You know, it's not going to be something like that. I would say, I haven't read it for years, but I'd suggest Kingdom Come.
Yeah,
that's a good one.
Yeah, similar.
That's because that's a title for me that I read it at a point where I wasn't reading DC at all. In fact, speaking of DC, DC was the one that was collecting it and had it. And sometimes when you don't keep up to date with a comic book universe, If you try reading a current title, you can be so out of it, can't you? You can just not know where it's going. But titles like Kingdom Come, and much like The Ultimates in a sense.
Yeah, and that book Marvels as well. Do you remember that came out at the same time as well?
That was a good one as well.
That's an interesting one.
But they take the universes and they take the classic tropes that pretty much most people will know. You know, most people will know the basics of who Batman and Superman is because they're in the zeitgeist of culture, aren't they? And if you know that, I think going into Kingdom Come, it's a fairly open. I haven't read it. I'll hold my hands up. I haven't read it for a couple of years, for a few years.
Yeah, it is. I think the only problem you might have, you'll go, why is Superman so old? Or something. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I think you can get around that. I think
it, come on, Bazza.
Yeah, come on, mate.
I think if he's.
Let's get out the Frenchman's fingers.
I think if he's watched a couple of the films and into the TV, he should be know enough to kind of get on board with it.
Yeah, I think so. What about you, DC?
Well, I think The Ultimates is a good shout in Kingdom Come, because I was just thinking about it then, because I guess what you're looking for Bazza, besides a personality, is a gateway drug, isn't it, really? Yeah. It's something that's kind of like that's going to get them in. And both of those, as memory serves me, is quite streamlined, they're quite cinematic, they're quite self-contained. So you'll be able to sit through those sort of in you know, one sitting, really, and get a decent experience from it. So it's not and then hopefully from that inspired.
He's not likely to come back to you and go, what was that load of shit? Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's that sort of, there's the little adrenaline bits in it, and you know, it's sort of fairly simple, isn't it? You know?
Yeah.
Shall I pony up my one?
Go on.
It's very similar vein. It's the trade collection of World War Hulk.
Okay. Yeah.
Because
that's interesting.
It's kind of Thor Ragnarok's still relatively fresh in people's minds. You go to that, you know the kind of players in it. It's kind of a bit more drawn out, and then it leads on to. I'd go for Planet Hulk, and then it leads into World War Hulk. Yeah. So like you kind of get your way into the MCU and start taking it from there. Because I know you didn't like it, Vince, but I really liked Thor Ragnarok. But Planet Hulk was great. That's just like picked it up and just absolutely blasted through that.
Yeah, me too. I don't think I read it till I got the hardback. I had a couple of the issues and missed a few, so I sort of hadn't really got into it. And then I read the hardback, and it's a really good one story, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you don't, like you say, you don't need to be connected into anything else in the universe to sort of understand it either, do you? You know?
It literally, like, I think it starts with Hulk being on the ship, and then he gets like all these messages from Stark and Mr. Fantastic why they've sent him there, and then he crashes, and then off you go.
I mean, I do wonder with some of these bigger titles, certainly when Infinity War came out, you'd walk into your Waterstones and you see the Infinity Gauntlet, you know, the big collections and stuff up there. And, you know, that's all well and good, but I picked it up and I'd flick through it. But for new readers, I don't think books like that are necessarily right for people, you know, because those stories have such a build-up that, like, have been years in the making, and certainly most of the time you open those books and you don't recognise half the characters because most of those characters aren't in the films.
Yeah, exactly.
You're like, who's this golden bloke that's fighting Thanos? And you think, oh. Yeah. Of course, we're like, Adam Warlock, you noob. But most people won't know it, and he's a major part of that story.
So,
you know, it's just, I don't know. It's just something I always think about.
I can only imagine it'd be a jarring experience from like someone seeing the film and they say, look, the comic, and then get it and it's completely different.
Yeah.
Like Age of Ultron.
Yeah.
I didn't enjoy that series, you know. I really didn't. Anyway, shall we? So I think Bazza, God bless you, Bazza, you've wanted to read
comic books. Well, we got a small press one for him as well.
Have you got a small press, have you? Because I thought, I was thinking with this particular one, that they wouldn't necessarily be so open-minded, but I'd be interested to see what you suggest for them.
Right, I've got a worthy mention of a main school one is The Boys.
Yeah.
But he wouldn't fucking leave you alone if you suggested that, because he'd go, oh, he's his dick, and all this sort of thing. And, yeah. But my other one for small press would be Rock of the Reds.
Yeah, that's a good one.
So he's a bit of a football fan. Yeah. You know, I thought Rock of the Reds quite readable, you know.
Yeah.
I agree, yeah.
That's one.
I think that's quite good, actually, Rock of the Reds, because it sort of effortlessly sort of blends the two genres, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
So aim for non-football followers, like all of us, except Dan Butcher, who outed himself during the World Cup.
I'm not a football follower.
Nah. Mm. Yeah,
sense.
We, whatever.
I'm just
we know.
I'm a fierce nationalist.
Oh Jesus. Well, I didn't expect that to come out on this episode.
Not the first time you said that.
It's usually by sort of glassing someone in the pub.
Yeah. Jesus. So, yeah, Dan Butcher is our Begbie.
Christ, it's dark tonight, this show.
Yeah, it is. It's because we're recording earlier in the day. Oh, quick, no, that's behind the scenes that people must not know. Anyway, so I think that's good choices all round, really.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Okay. New Reader 2. This is where it's going to
get into. This is based on a friend of mine. I based this one on a friend of mine. This is a real person.
Ah, yeah. Just in case you wondered, all of these new readers were created by Tony Esmond.
I'm the one to blame.
I just want to state that on the record, should it come up in court. Now, new Reader 2. Okay. You're picking your nephew up from the local primary school. You know most of the parents to say hi to. Marge is always a bit late and looks like her three kids run her ragged. She comes up to you and asks a question.
The grandparents are looking after the kids. So I've treated myself to a weekend break. I've heard that comics aren't just superheroes, so I thought I might give one a go.
You're the expert. Yeah. What do you recommend?
I'd be giving this lady some serious kind of
space.
Yeah, space. Shifting backwards slowly.
That's my lady voice.
At least we can know you can never catfish anyone on the phone.
Oh dear. Right, so oh my god, where were we?
Let's examine the facts.
Yeah. Marge is fucking sexy.
I've got one more to do yet, don't be like that.
Oh god. Right. Okay, now. Oh, dear.
Shall I go first?
Yeah, go first, because she's heard that comics aren't just superheroes, so she thought she might give one a go.
Yeah. So she's looking for something that's not superheroes.
Yeah.
She's looking for something, probably maybe to take away on holiday, something like that. Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
So I'm going for something that is self-encapsulated. There's a long run to it, and it's well-told, intelligent, and sort of multifaceted. I'm going for the Fables run from Vertigo.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. I think that would be a good choice. I'm not sure about a long run, though. Do you think that...
Yeah, I don't know. It's one of those sort of page turners. You've got to read the next one. For those that don't know, Bill Willingham and, in the most part, Mark Buckingham. So there you go. Yeah. And if she likes that, there's some other comics, you know, talking about trying to get someone addicted, that's what, 16, 18 volumes. And then you've also got Jack of Fables and Cinderella and all that sort of thing as well, haven't you? There's sort of spin-off series from it. Mm. And my reserve was Why the Last Man, because I thought the same about
that. That's great.
That's a good one. But
you recommended one during the week, Tony. You think you might be talking about it and you recommend that would be a great book for going on holiday with.
Yeah. That is probably leave that one actually because I'm going to dive into that one a bit. But yeah, I agree. What about you guys?
So, what sort of psychological profile has Marge got?
She's a bit flustered, but she's been given this weekend away, isn't she? You know, she's obviously a busy person, but just needs a bit of me time. Yeah. So I was thinking she wants something to sort of soak into,
Is she a fan of soaps?
Well, the real person I based this on. She's the lady who once told me you don't age in space. That lady, do you remember?
Oh, so not the sharpest.
Yeah,
because I've totally pitched my comic completely wrong. Then
this is the lady. I said I was in having a drink, and I said, what would you do? You know, would you be your favourite job if you could do any job? And a couple of blokes said, oh, I'd be a footballer, see all the money they make and all the girls they get. And she said, I'd go to space. And I said, why? And she went, well, you don't get any older in space, do you? And we all went, what are you talking about? And she says, well, she based the theory on the fact if you're in space, you're not, you know, days and months and years calculated by the Earth traveling around the sun. But if you're in space, the that doesn't count, does it? Which is kind of sort of secret genius in a way, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, because you can't you can't prove her wrong.
No.
I think time actually goes very slightly slower if you're further out into orbit. But like,
all right, then, Stephen Hawkins.
So tiny, it'd be absolutely irrelevant.
Yeah, okay. Well, let's not tell her because she's on going to space. Yeah.
I pitched it. I was going to give a Hark a Vagrant by Kate Beaton, but you need quite a good knowledge of history and literature to kind of get 90% of the jokes in that. But yeah, she might get a few laughs out of it.
So you're basing it on something I've always known, that women are far more intelligent than men.
Generally.
Yeah, I think you're
a lot more well read.
I thought that's just a wide known fact anyway, though, isn't it?
Well, if we use this show as a case study,
I don't think this show should be used for any any fact of any kind. Anyway, I was I think that's a good shout though, sort of like humour style comics though, Dan. I mean, I was going to maybe suggest something like Strangers in Paradise.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or maybe Bone.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with that.
Yeah, I suppose you could take it back and read it to the kids, couldn't you, after that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I was going to suggest as a small press one, something from Tilly Walden. Again, I'm not sure if kind of should be...
I think we might have someone for that later, aren't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Small press, I was going to suggest Curia Regis by Robin Holzman.
Yeah, it could be. That's quite. I mean, if someone's got is a fan of historical based books as well, because that's quite.
Or Essex County.
Yeah, that's a good shout.
Yeah.
DC, what do you go for? What do you reckon?
Well, that's quite a tough one for me to suggest anything like that. I mean, my thought was the Matt Fraction and David Adger Hawkeye. But that's probably more falling on the superhero thing, because I just thought that's kind of a superhero book that isn't really a superhero book, and therefore might leapfrog into something else. But like I said, for me, that's a really tough one to answer, because I just don't have the broad experience of that beyond Guys in Tights.
That's interesting.
Other than Vince, what do you know about the?
I don't think I've ever been approached as someone to say recommend a comic for me. Like, usually sometimes you know someone and you say, oh, I've got a book you'll love, and bring in a comic or whatever. Like, I've done that with Porcelain for so many people.
And
said, look, you're fucking love this, and
they
always have.
I got asked it this week by the bloke I sit next to at work, and he's I've been saying to him, oh, you should watch Daredevil, and he watched it on Netflix, and he's one of these guys who has like a 3-hour commute to an hour in, an hour and a half in, an hour and a half home.
Yeah.
And he's like bulk watched nearly all of the Marvel Universe on Netflix.
Great.
And he was saying, what should I read? And I was sort of recommending, you know, Welcome Back Frank and Preacher and a few other things, you know.
I'll go Daredevil, Man Without Fear.
Yeah,
that's fucking great.
Season one of Daredevil, that's it, got it all.
That's
over,
basically,
it?
Yeah, that's that.
Yeah. But for,
I guess as well, like on Comixology or Comic House, excuse, because I'm not too familiar with them. I mean, is it kind of like Amazon, where if you go on and you purchase a trade paperback or a comic book, it then gives you sort of, oh, because you bought this, other readers bought this, or does it recommend some types as well?
Comixology does, DC.
And is that, how accurate do you think that is in terms of your experience? If you go on there and looked at yours and say sort of, oh, because you bought this, you know, there's these other ones. Do you think it's an okay metric?
It can bring up interesting choices I might not have thought about. I'll put it that way. Not automatically all of them or something, but there's definitely something I'll go, oh, I've not heard of that, or, oh, yeah, I remember that, or, you know, something like that. Yeah,
just curious.
I haven't so much noticed that in Comixology. That's because normally when I'm browsing Comixology and stuff, but, like, I'll scour the indie titles and stuff. So there's such a wide range of stuff that I get on Comixology that it's hard to know what it'll recommend me or whatever. Or, you know, I think I don't just stick to like the big two and stuff like that.
I mean, up until we got on the comps list for Europe Comics, we were spending our lives on there, weren't we?
Yeah.
Stuff. Yeah. Thing, really. Yeah.
Yeah, we love you, Europe Comics.
And the other one I'd recommended for that one, for Marge, is The Kitchen, which is a reasonably recent Vertigo series about the wives of three gangsters who take over their territory in Hell's Kitchen. It's drawn by Ming Dahl and written by Ollie Masters. And I think they're making a TV series. So it'd be the one I sort of think, are you all like this? And it's going to be a TV series soon. It's always a good little hook for people sometimes, I think, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, because I think a lot of
it sort of validates their choice, because they think, oh, look, so it must be good they're making a TV show out of it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and they think, oh, we can watch that after I've read it. You know, it's always a good thing. Or it's the same with novels, isn't it? Oh, this is going to be a film soon. People are prone to maybe read it. It's a little sort of marketing push sometimes, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. There you go.
Right, so there you go, Marge. You're welcome.
Marge, thank you, Marge.
Enjoy the spa break, wherever you're going.
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
Sounding sexy.
New Reader 3.
I will do that voice on the phone if anyone wants to ring me, if they're, you know, having trouble sleeping or anything.
Oh.
That'd keep them awake, surely.
I think that clip may be the most replayed clip we've had in months, though, Tony, I think.
I think you might be right. Yeah. I could do a talking book in that voice, couldn't I?
Oh, please do.
Oh.
What book would he be brilliant at?
Why doesn't he read Devil Kickers?
Oh, my God.
Which you can get on Amazon now. Anyway.
Nice.
And a soft copy of that one.
Yeah. Anyway, there's a joke there somewhere. Right, New Reader 3. Okay. You're at a local pub metal gig. Dirty Spine are playing. I love them. And you recognise one of the attendees as Dirty Dave. He's in his mid-20s and likes heavy metal, horror movies, and porn.
Who doesn't?
Yep.
Come on, Dirty Dave. Talk to us.
Sorry, mate. Okay. I was literally... I just thought... It just sounds like Vince. Right, okay, sorry.
What a fuckface. I've decided to start reading comics like you, you big nerd.
Perfection.
You're the expert. What do you recommend? This is really difficult for me this week. All right, okay. Now, Dirty Dave, I'm in his mindset. I know. Yeah. This sounds like someone who I'm surprised hasn't already read a lot of comics.
Yeah, it does a bit, doesn't it?
Mm.
Yeah.
But what do you...
plays video games or something like that. There's a bit of that going on
there. I would probably go the route, and I haven't necessarily read many of these, but if he's a horror movie fan, I definitely sort of point him in the direction of, oh, you like Hellraiser? Oh, do you know they do comics on Hellraiser? Just put, you know, send him a couple of links to some books. Or
Nightbreed.
If you want to go full on, maybe, I mean, if he knows his horror stuff, you could point him in the direction of Dollman Kills the Full Moon Universe.
Got that in front of me. I've had to buy a couple of copies because I've had to wipe it clean.
Oh.
Obviously, I know that DC's a big fan of Subspecies, the movie series, and there is a comic of that as well.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Lock and Key, would that be any good?
Yeah.
I think that's a very good one, actually. I think that's one of those indie titles that almost transcends a little bit, isn't it? I mean, it's been through several sort of failed attempts to make a TV show.
It's happening now.
It's definitely happening.
They did a pilot, didn't they? And then which is about 4 or 5 years ago, even, isn't it?
Yeah. Is it Netflix now have it now, or is it?
I'm not sure, actually. The original one was someone like Fox or Stars or something like that.
Yeah, it's definitely one of the streaming sites that have got it, whether it's Amazon or Netflix, I can't remember, but it's been greenlit now, and it's definitely in production and happening.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I do like that. I haven't read enough of that book to be a sort of an authoritative sort of voice on it, but I've heard a lot of good things, and you always see it on like Comixology on sale. You know, the first volume is always on sale somewhere, or it's on Comic House, yeah. So if you want to read it, you can check it out on Comic House. So I probably point him in the direction of titles that he may already know in terms of the horror universe, and then feed it through there, and then see what else happens. Because there's a lot of horror books I like. Horror's a difficult one to. A lot of those movie tie-in titles I don't read because I'm not necessarily a fan of, like, you know, the Hellraiser comics or whatever. They're probably great if you like that kind of thing, but they're not really for me. But you know, this
what
is
about a... the Aliens versus Predator, that first series?
The first series
that
is
was
one of my
good, wasn't it?
It's yeah. one of my yeah. favorite series ever.
You the might like that if
the
you
first
like
volume. The rest of them I never read, but the first
one garbage.
Here's one I'd give him, because he's clearly a bit of a twat and a bit of a sicko. I would give him, I wouldn't go beyond the first six issues, but I'd get him to read the first six issues of Crossed.
When
yeah.
He
yeah. Yeah. I think
yeah, I'd be careful of that, just in the blowback.
Yeah.
And sort of like yeah. suddenly people in the office are like looking at you weird. You know, yeah. Like,
yeah.
There's also a book that Vince got me, actually, Punk Rock Jesus by Sean Murphy.
Oh, yeah.
Could
oh,
be
yeah, yeah.
could be a
that's,
yeah. decent show.
Yeah, that's
a good one.
I was going to mention punk rock as well. I was going to say, who's the most punk rock character in comics?
It's you.
Thank you. I'm going to say Slane.
Yeah.
I'd go with a bit of Slane. Maybe the Clint Langley stuff, something like that. You know, it was just full on metal battles and stuff like that, you know.
I was tempted to say Lobo just to see what reaction would happen.
Yeah, I was thinking Lobo.
yeah.
Well, again, Martial Law's pretty hardcore, and I'm Pat Mills.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think most of Pat Mills' creations are pretty punk rock, aren't they?
Yeah. I mean, ABC Warriors or, that'd go down a storm as well. And the other one is something we read recently, Dan, is Raptors from Europe.
Yeah, fucking hell.
It's got that sort of. New wave rock kind of look to it, isn't it? You know,
I
can't believe that that's done by the same artist.
I know, I can't either.
The same artist as Desert Star,
and Prolific Rogue Eagle, right? And
Eagles
like
of Rome, yeah,
because he's now working for I started following him on Instagram and Twitter just to see his amazing work. And he's doing DC stuff,
he's doing he's done two Batman, well, one Batman, one Joker book, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's amazing. You think Batman's look has been done. I don't know how anyone could do anything new. And then you look at his stuff, and you fucking hell, he like brings something new to the table for the character. It looks completely different. It's fantastic.
Yeah. And that Raptors is a good series. It's kind of it's like a sort of vampire family, isn't it? That are sort of battling each other, and they're sort of dying out, and there's clans that are at each other's throats and stuff. Yeah, it's good. I think you'd like that.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's a good shout.
Yeah.
From a small press wise, I was thinking Reckless Wrestlers.
Yeah, I know some.
Yeah, I thought that's sort of kind of crazy looking, isn't it?
Is Dirty Dave a wrestling fan?
Oh, I don't know. He might be, mightn't he? He's not based on a real person, Dirty Dave. Well, he is you, to be fair. So I don't know.
and Vince does like wrestling.
Yeah.
I
do.
Roman Greco style wrestling.
I'm not in my mid-20s.
More Turkish oil.
You would probably get on well with Merrick, the Elephant Man.
Oh, yes, Merrick, that's a good one.
Press-wise. Mm. And Mandy the Monster Hunter, do you
think? Samurai Slasher?
Yeah.
I think probably anything on the Hellbound Media table would be right up Dirty Dave's straight.
Yeah. And the other one I put was Cognition.
Nice, interesting.
Steampunky thing,
isn't it? I mean, in terms of mainstream, is that someone that you point in the direction of the actual collected works of Hellboy?
Yeah, I've written BPRD down actually on mine. Yeah. So I agree. Yeah.
And likewise, what are the other Mignola books like Witchfinder and stuff like that? That are not part of the same universe, are they?
I think it is, isn't it? I think it's in Witchfinder. I've got a feeling it is.
I thought Witchfinder wasn't, but there's another one that is. I can't be too sure.
Yeah.
But it's all the same, isn't it?
Yeah.
So there you go, Dirty Dave. You're welcome.
Well done, Dirty Dave. Dirty Vince.
Yeah.
Nice one.
Wash your hair.
Yeah.
Anyway, right. The last new reader. We've converted three of four.
Yeah, we've done all right.
Yeah, we've done all
right. We've groomed three to come round.
I wouldn't say groomed.
Oh, okay.
We're going to come round your house and get the books.
Yeah. What?
Yeah.
Tony's had those sort of experiences before. You don't want to... bring that back to
me. I have, when I was dog grooming, and I thought it meant you go online and meet dogs.
Let's just leave that there. New reader four. This is going to be another good one. Okay. Astrid is your cousin's new girlfriend.
Name,
be quiet. Let me set the scene. Astrid is your cousin's new girlfriend. She's a bit quiet and is in her late teens. She's come over to meet you and the rest of the family and sees a pile of comics on the dining table. She likes cartoons and young adult fiction.
Excuse me. I'd like to read some comics or graphic novels. You're well old and weird. What should I read?
I think that's pretty fucking rich coming from her.
Yeah.
She's clearly an old man doing a voice.
I mean, when you talk about grooming, I think we've all been done.
If I'm sitting by a load of comics, I'll just point to something. There you go. Knock yourself out.
Yeah, stop doing that silly voice. Fuck off.
So, this is a family buffet, Tony. So you've rather soured the atmosphere.
Why have you come dressed as a 19-year-old girl? Please leave. Again. No, you can't take my skateboard.
It's like Bill Oddie doing an impersonation of Britney Spears.
Now you're talking.
But the dress is too short, so it's all hanging out the bottom.
Oh, yeah.
And she's got the nerve. She's got the fucking nerve to call me weird.
I know. You're old and weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hate her.
Yeah. It's because I'm wearing my dirty spine vest. That's what it was. But anyway, Astrid is obviously, we're looking at the target demographic of...
These are the people we want to get into comics, aren't they? Because they're young and they're going to buy comics. And they probably, bear in mind she's quite quiet, usually means she's quite intelligent. So she's going to have some money eventually to buy comics. Mm. Yep. I'm going to go. Shall I go first again?
Yeah, go for it.
Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Yes.
Chunky series. Yeah. She probably, you know, it's funny. It's got a brain to it. And then you can go, there's a movie of that as well, which, because she's 19.
That one's came out definitely like been ago. It's been a gateway drug for a lot of creators, isn't it? Right. Like modern creators.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That we're seeing now. I think, unfortunately, I think some of the best recommendations for, you know, this sort of person are ones that I'm not au fait with. Do you know what I mean? Like, like the manga and those huge sort of anime sort of bookshelves you see in a Waterstones or in bookstores and stuff. You know, Tokyo.
And I say this not wishing to sound like a dirty old man, although I think this is probably too late at this point after 161 episodes. But the comic that I've given most to younger girls and younger boys is Porcelain.
Yeah,
yeah.
Every single time. I think they love that, the connection, beautiful artwork, you know, the well-written sort of story that's otherworldly, you know?
Yeah.
Apart from the first person, I think I could give Porcelain to all three, the last three of these, and they'd be happy. Right.
Other than Dirty Dave. Yeah.
No, not Dirty. Not Dirty Dave would read it. It's Bazza. Bazza.
Yeah, it's true, actually. Bazza
might like it, but I wouldn't want to chance my arm.
Yeah, because he'd go, oh, what's all this feelings? What are you doing about your feelings? Something like that, wouldn't he? Yeah.
Does he not like feelings?
I mentioned it earlier, but anything by Avery Hill, especially Tilly Walden and stuff, I think that'd go well. Rachel Smith's The Rabbit.
Oh, good shout. That would go down
like a storm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was also saying maybe a little bit edgier, like Bad Girls Club by Ryan Heschke from Nobrow, which is kind of gangster women, like, you know, taking no shit and, you know, robbing banks.
Yeah.
I kind of like this. It's kind of a bit more punk rock, a bit more sort of goth, you know.
It's
sort of thing.
A shame someone hasn't got the wherewithal to. I'm going to make a bad smell now and say BuzzFeed, but you can write articles for BuzzFeed, and someone who kind of got a bit of knowledge about comics write an article for BuzzFeed and mention some of these small press titles, like 10 small press comic UK titles you should be reading right now, and bring some sort of. Some focus on it, because I guess terrific amount of readers, but writing for fucking BuzzFeed.
Yeah. Speaking of Nobrow, though, do you think Hilda's a good choice?
Yeah, I think so, because it's going to be a cartoon soon as well, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I almost wrote that down, actually, but yeah, that is definitely a good choice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Coming out next month, folks.
That could also possibly be a choice for Marge.
Yes.
Yeah, it's an interesting one.
I wouldn't get Marge it because she'd think that I'd got it for her kids. Do you know what I mean?
You don't want to ruin the potential romance that is blossoming. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
you're trying to cultivate.
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, Marge did sound oddly like Astrid. It was weird. I didn't know.
I think they might be from the same part of the country, maybe related.
Yeah. Maybe Astrid is Marge's daughter.
I'm putting, she could be actually, although the person I based it on, kids aren't quite that old. Not far off. Yeah, not far off. Yeah, it could be. Yeah. Maybe they're both me dressed as ladies.
Yeah. Oh, what an image. We need plenty of fan art there. Another title, NPCT, I think would be a good one for Astrid.
Yeah. Or Heart of Time. Heart of Time's good luck
Heart
for that.
Heart of Times, yeah. Another good one.
What do you think about Saga?
Now, I think, that could possibly, but I think Saga with, Saga's an interesting one, isn't it? Because it either grabs you straight away and you're in for the long haul, or it just doesn't get you at all, does it?
Yeah. What's the one that we recommended from, about the space sheriff, the woman who goes to be a space sheriff?
Copperhead.
I've not read that one.
Oh, you should read Copperhead, Doug.
Yeah,
he's a good man, yeah. The other one I thought was Zot. Scott McCloud.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I Hate Fairyland.
Yes.
That would be a good I think that would be a good one. I can't believe I've forgotten the creator's name now. Scott, is it Scott?
Scott Young.
Scott Young, yeah. The man who pretty much just prints money whenever he draws.
I mean, there is a fantastic amount of comics for all of these kind of
there is, yeah.
Archetypes, stereotypes, whatever you want to call them.
What about you, DC? Is there anything you could recommend?
The only thing I would probably say, I don't know how relevant it would be The Bear comics by Jamie Smart.
Oh, okay. They're good.
Yeah, they're just a bit of fun. Something to talk
just because they're a bit absurd
about.
And a bit silly, and it's just kind of just, but it's also got a little bit of dark humour there, but beyond that, I wouldn't know where to start, so I've been noting down what you've been saying. Yeah. Not I'm a teenage girl.
So, DC, you said you do read some comics, but not...
Yes.
Did you read some and then go away and then come back again?
Well, sort of. I mean, when Vince and I were growing up, we used to read. Obviously, Vince continued to read comics, but used to be quite a regular thing. Sort of going to the local comic shop it was in Salisbury called Floppy Tongue back in the day, and used to get sort of your pulls list every week without failing. Sort of carry on. And then I sort of stopped getting the weekly ones or the monthly ones, and then eventually sort of started going down the I'll pick it up when it's a graphic novel kind of, I'll pick it up when it's a trade, and then just kind of that fell further and further and further behind. So I haven't really sort of read any modern stuff. I mean, I've been to some of the conventions and some of the horror cons that we've done. We've seen Hellbound Media, a few other guys there as well. So I try and pick up some of those stuff when we see it. But beyond that, I haven't. I could name you some of the big name characters from the big companies, of course, but I couldn't tell you anything, certainly independent, that I haven't been recommended by sort of by Vince, or I've seen recommended by you guys on this or on Twitter, for instance.
Yeah.
Oh, you'll have to come back on and we'll recommend stuff for you.
Yeah.
That'd be a good chat, wouldn't it?
One of the interesting things, obviously everyone knows about Deadpool now. Like the whole world knows about him, but how I learned about Deadpool was through like DC, because he followed the Deadpool character from the first moment he ever appeared.
Gotcha.
When he was a serious assassin, so
it's weird, isn't it, when you think about the Deadpool that people think, if you say to somebody Deadpool and they went back to the start and picked up a comic book, they wouldn't recognize the character at all.
I tell you, I was looking through some Deadpool stuff to recommend for Baz on this, and I came up, and the amount of fucking Deadpool stuff out there, you would not believe. My son gets all the Deadpool comics, and there's probably about two a week. I was going to suggest Deadpool Kills the Marvel Universe by Cullen Bunn and Dalibor Talagic, which is a fun, and you wouldn't need to go into it with any other sort of knowledge. Yeah. And it's,
I mean, my favorite run was probably. Was it the Joe Kelly stuff?
Joe Kelly wrote
the first one.
He kind of got a rip of him, didn't he? Yeah, he did.
He sort of actually made him a character rather than just, it's
Spider-Man drawing.
I mean, it's kind of
a shit Spider-Man that's just Deathstroke.
Yeah, that's what they kind of like look at Rob Liefeld and kind of give him the nod. But like, he didn't really define that fucking character. The same way we said this before, like Bill Finger and Batman. Bob Finger, sorry. Is it Bob Finger, the guy who made Batman?
He drew it, didn't he? Yeah.
Kind of, he basically gave him all this shit, whereas the guy who kind of Bob Kane or Bill Kane? I can't remember. It's fucking heat. It's killing me.
Bill Finger, Bob Kane.
He kind of like put the bare bones down, and the artist basically rendered it and made what Batman is. And it's just kind of like, I feel like Rob Liefeld was taking a lot of the credit there for essentially, I think I've got the first issue of Deadpool turn up in X-Force, was it?
Yeah, X-Force.
And it's just like some
87, I think. Yeah,
bland, generic dude. It's, totally forgettable.
Because that was Mark Waid as well, wasn't it, after that? And then,
That's my broadside on Lee Liefeld there.
Always. Because the one thing as well is a non-regular comics reader, like, it's quite overwhelming. Somebody, if you go into a comic shop, like there's one near me here in Bath, and you go in there and it's just like, as you say, I see it's a wall of Deadpool comics, it's a wall of Logan or Wolverine comics, and it's a wall of Batman comics. But beyond that, where, you know, like there's not an awful lot, it's really hard to find the stuff that's not that, if you know what I mean. And you know, I've got no problem with any of those characters, but I've kind of, you know.
Fuck me, I'd get that going into Orbital, because they're like, if you ever been in, there's a massive, great big long wall down the left-hand side as soon as you come in, filled with like the latest floppies. And it's like, Jesus Christ, there's fucking loads.
And this is, and, I think this is where covers really become important. And it's something, and we've talked about it a couple of weeks ago, that every Wednesday, a new comic book day, I do a Comixology browse, and I just pick four titles. Tony's also, he also did it 1 week, and Dan's going to do it this week.
I think
week
we're going to try and do it like as a weekly thing.
Because it's just a bit fun anyway, but you just
but
going
we do
through
it blind, don't we?
Yeah.
Like, so we don't know who's picking what.
Yeah. And you're basically just going through and just seeing what cover pops. You don't have to buy it, you know, but you're literally just looking at these covers. And it's, I was saying to Tony the other day that it's quite fascinating that as these comics may be great, the Marvel books, but the covers don't always do it. They the Marvel and DC ones, they seem to blend into one another. Where some of the IDW titles, the Image titles, you know, they're quite striking and they pop. Indie books have to work harder, don't they, to get your attention? Because like you say, you walk into Orbital and the left hand, you probably know what you're going to go for, aren't you? You're going to go for your Avengers or your Punisher or your Batman or whatever. But the indie titles have to work that much harder.
I mean, I've bought comics based on the fucking cover. Like, they've got me to pick it up. They've done their job straight away. And you're like, wow, this is good.
Yeah.
And then in you go.
Yeah. It's also interesting where the book is placed on the shelf as well. You know, also where that comic book shop owner has chosen to put it. Because sometimes, like you say, it's like a wall of noise, isn't it? Like, you know, when you just think, I'm just going to go in and get a comic. I just want to read a comic. You know, you're not following any titles. You just want to, it can be quite daunting going in and they're just.
Oh, God, yeah.
Well, the biggest challenge is to get past the Funko Pops.
Yeah. I quite like the Gosh layout. So when you go in there on the first floor, there's all trades and collections, and the first you come in, think of a rectangle size shop. When you go in, that you're confronted by a table, and like that's kind of like staff picks and stuff that promoting, and you can kind of go anywhere and it's like bang, they're there. And downstairs is like the single issues, which is the more kind of like the regular readers, as it were.
Yeah, I quite like that idea of the staff pick, because they do that in Waterstones, don't they? If you go into Waterstones, typically there's like a little handwritten note saying so-and-so recommends this because it's, you know, with a little summary or as to why. And that's pretty interesting. I think, I'm not sure whether many comics do that, but that's a comic shop, do that. But that's quite a cool thing. If I was coming in as an outsider, this old staff pick is you know, Mighty Trombone issue 3.
Someone needs to... Oh, who's written that? Oh.
You know, and just kind of why it's interesting and exciting would be quite cool.
Yeah, and I think also, I know Orbital put it on, they have picks, but they also put them on their weekly mail out, which I quite like as well.
It's a good idea.
Yeah, it is. And for the impulse buyer, you know.
Do you do any of that at the cons on your stalls or on your tables? Do you have like a little, summary about what it is?
We don't really have. It's interesting you say that, because then it turns the attention to selling from a convention table, isn't it? A lot of emphasis is normally put onto the, you know, the patter, the banter that you have with a person. But maybe sometimes someone just wants to read a little card with a description of what it is. It's something that we
easier than engaging. Isn't it?
Well,
yeah.
I've mentioned this idea before of having like a stand at a convention that has all the books, a single issue of all the books at the con, telling you where the table is, and that you can pick it up and have a look for it. And there's no obligation. There's no one there to kind of pressure sell or talk to you. It's just you pick the issue up, have a look. Oh, that's over there. I'll go and get a copy of that. Do you know what I mean? Because sometimes you go over and pick a table, you'd go to pick a comic off a table, look for it, and then the person's like talking to you, oh, yeah, yeah, and you're like, oh, I don't really want to fucking buy this.
I'm stuck here now.
Yeah.
And that's just at our table.
Yeah.
We really recognise that look in your eye, and we're not letting you go. You've got to stay there.
Hooked you.
Yeah.
Like those double glazing salesmen that sits around old people's houses for 6 hours.
Yeah, I had to throw one of them out of my house once. I literally picked his bag up and threw it out. I said, you're not listening to me, mate. I don't want it. Leave. And then he just kept talking. So I picked his bag up, opened the front door and threw it out.
Nice.
Yeah.
I very old man-esque. I bought one of those stickers that says like no cold calling. And I'm going to put on because I got fucked off. I had two this week. One like charity and someone else trying to flog sank.
I think so I need to do that as well, Dan.
Yeah, it fucks me right off.
Yeah.
This is my temple, man. This is my house. Come rolling up on me, fucking trying to sell your shit.
Yeah, it's gone very street.
Yeah.
You said man and rolling up on me.
Yeah.
I feel like we're in the rap universe now.
Yeah. Whereas I always thought you were more like Rambo. No. Just tripwires on the way to his front door.
The mean streets of Herne Bay.
I can't really do that because ELO doesn't really translate in the same way, does it? Yeah.
Back off, Mr. Blue Sky. Anyway, when we talked about recommending books to non-comic readers, as it were, which is such a hard thing to put into a question, because I don't like talking about people as non-comic readers because they're just readers, aren't they? Really, it doesn't mean
you read a book, you're a reader.
And we had quite a few responses. I'm not going to read them all out. I'll do, you know, but they were quite sort of interesting. The debates that people were getting into, and it made us do a little bit of thinking as well, didn't it, about the actual topic. For instance, obviously, I'll start with Tom Curry because he's a good egg. At this chucklehead, he put it into four messages. Bloody hell, Tom. he said, "Right, strap in, guys." So from the mainstream, I'd always suggest Dan Slott's Silver Surfer run. Great cosmic adventure, beautifully written and drawn. Okay. If we're going small press, Mulp is a great place to start. That is a great book, actually. And either the beautiful art or well-written story grabs them. If they prefer something a little different, Slang Pictorial is quite unlike anything else out there.
Obvs.
For a younger recommendation, The Etherington Brothers, Long Gone Don is well worth checking out. Yeah. Much like most of the Etherington Brothers library, actually. Finally, if they want something a bit cheaper but still mind-blowing, Scurry or The Shade Runners, both great web comics that show the breadth of talent out there. I might also mention The Awesome Comics Anthology, but not to anyone I actually liked. thank you, Tom. Some good choices there, actually. I think some that...
I was going to say a quick shout-out to the That Comic Smell, who reviewed issue 2 on their latest show.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Very much appreciate it.
Thanks, Tom. I'm seeing Tom next weekend.
Nice.
A couple of other, Bob Turner, Alan Henderson, a couple of other people. Yeah, looking forward to meeting him finally.
Yeah. Now, we had a couple of interesting ones here that I haven't read, but Amnesiac hashtag... Anyway, I can't say the name. So it's at Jason M. Cobley. Hopefully he listens to the show.
Yeah.
He said, Will Eisner, A Contract with God. Craig Thompson's Habibi.
Yeah.
Asterios Polyp by David Mazzucchelli. All good examples.
I love that. I absolutely love that book. I think if we'd have had a sort of Hampstead set kind of, you know, pseudo-intellectual, I'd have met, you know, somebody who's into sort of fine art or new art or something like that, I'd have mentioned Asterios Polyp. Definitely. He's a cracker.
He said they're all good examples of grown-up use of the form, close to literary. You know, if ever you get these, well, I guess that those people that are, like you say, the art crowd, you could say, I would immediately point them in the direction of Gareth Hopkins. Any work by Gareth Hopkins.
Yep.
Because that will not be what anyone is expecting in the most brilliant way. The Valkyries at Valkyries blog. They said for a younger crowd, Nimona and the Lumberjanes.
Both good chance.
That's good.
For everyone else, I'd say Saga is a great place to start. That is what reignited my love at an older age. Interesting. For the horror fans, Witches. Can't believe I forgot Witches. That's a good show.
Oh, yeah. Is that good? I've never read Witches. Is it good?
The first arc. I mean, I've only read the first arc of it, and that was very good.
Very
creepy. For the fairy tale fans, Fable. For the zombie crowd, The Wilds. Is that the new one about like the people that like grow flowers? The zombie virus that's like floral. Have you seen
I haven't read it. I don't know. Yeah.
It's a really interesting take on a sort of like an outbreak sort of virus. I don't want to say too much about it because I'll probably completely butcher it. So yeah, but that's one to possibly look out for. We've got a couple of others. Chris Imber.
Mm-hmm.
He said Invincible.
Snyder
and Capullo's A Batman and Superior Spider-Man. Luther Strode 2 and the original Gen X. Now, I know he's saying the original Gen X just because it's one of his favourite comics.
Does he mean Generation X or does he mean Gen X from Marvel UK?
It's definitely Generation X.
Right, okay. Yeah,
yeah. We had a few more. Simon Russell, let's see. He said, lots of the above, but mostly no superheroes. Too much of a leap for noobs. His own recommendations, the Mega Robo Bros, Lushkin, and Bunny versus Monkey for kids. That's a... very much the Phoenix crowd, which Phoenix is also a big recommendation if you've got kids.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Yeah.
Dan Butcher will attest. How's Dexter getting on with the Phoenix?
He's great. He's doing great. Like every week that comes through. Sometimes I read the comics to him. Sometimes he reads them himself. We're currently enthralled in the new one that started last week, The Legacy.
That's Zach Simmons Hearn and
Oh, is that what they were hinting at when he came on? Brilliant.
Yeah. So that's going down a storm.
Oh, brilliant. Need to get them back on, actually. When you read a comic to him, do you do voices, Dan?
Sometimes.
Do you need anyone to do any lady voices or anything?
Yeah, I'll give you a shout. Should the lady...
Cheers.
Yeah.
Uncle Tony's got this special message for you.
Well, that's not the creepiest thing I've ever heard.
Let's write a comic around that. Uncle Tony's message.
Yeah, but what's creepier is when he turns up dressed as a teenage girl.
Take that back.
I say creepy, I mean incredibly sexy, obviously.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Of course. You're amongst friends here. You know you are.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
And he says, Alec, Mayer, and From Hell for adults.
Yeah, okay. I love From Hell. Yeah.
We had a lot of interesting choices, though. The last one I'll mention from John Robertson. He said, I'm just going to be insane here. Casanova, because it's fun and smart, but someone who's used to action films would be drawn into it. Interesting choice, because that's a mental book, Casanova.
Because it's a bit filthy.
Yeah. Yep. we had an awful lot of choices. If you look at our Twitter feed and the response to it, you can see the great dialogue that was going on there. Which was interesting for us because it was something I think that we had to struggle with, because when you sort of say, recommend a book to a non-comic reader, of course you immediately think of all your favourite books, don't you? You naturally do.
Yeah.
But let's be honest, they're not always going to be for the non-comic reader. That sounds crazy because all comics, everyone should read comics. We know this. We all think the same. But... if you're looking at, other people are inherently stupid. No, that's not what I mean. But, they don't read the medium like we necessarily do, a lot of these people here. So, I could recommend a lot of my favourite superhero titles or, so many small press stuff. This whole show is built upon shouting the word out about stuff that people don't know and they should read. But would a non-comic reader... walking around a convention, what would entice them? So I think you have to step beyond your favourite books, don't you?
Yeah.
You have to apply yourself to what they're going to like. And be honest about it as well. Not everyone... It does take a while for your eye to get used to comics, doesn't it, I think? And something that's a little bit more sort of clear. Sorry, mate, come.
Be concerned if you gave them the wrong title and it put them off. Do you know what I mean? You say, well, I think this is great. And then they, not really for me. And then a couple of weeks down the line, I said, oh, I tried comics. So I didn't really like it. But if your selection had been better, you'd have hooked them in. Yeah.
What was that Alan Moore book about growing up girls who had appeared in fairy tales? And
Lost
Girls. Yeah, you gave it to them. They might call the police around your house.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I've not actually read that, so I can't comment on the content.
Yeah.
But, I'm a huge fan of Alan Moore. It's the only comic I've ever given away, so I didn't like it.
Yeah.
Really? But, okay.
Yeah, I found it very uncomfortable.
For instance, Alan Moore, you're a Lovecraft fan. Oh, you know, read like Neonomicon or Providence. Now, I mean, I've looked at pages. Yeah. I haven't read Providence yet, but I've looked at pages of it, and that's a heavy looking book in terms of like dialogue.
Mm. Yeah.
And sometimes people don't want to invest, because sometimes when we do read comics, there's a lot of dialogue. It's a slog, isn't it? It can be real heavy going stuff. So
I'll tell you what, from a point of view of what company do you direct them towards? If you're a non-comic reader, I think Vertigo is a good place to go to, because you got Scout, you got Preacher, you got Hellblazer, you got Why the Last Man, you got like loads of really good long runs, intelligently told stories that are for adults. You know?
Yeah.
I think that's a great company.
Yeah. DC, for you, looking to obviously dip your toe back into the comics and knowing what you like, you know, if you were to ask someone, oh, what should I be reading? What sort of things do you, I mean, you don't have to name titles here, but what sort of things do you hope in terms of like books and genre and stuff you would be suggested?
Oh, crikey. Probably anything with Lovecraft, naturally. But... yeah, I think the way sort of some of the comics medium is capable of doing stuff, you know, just like prose or film and everything else, it's capable of presenting it in a way that no other medium can. And I mean, one book I really did enjoy a while back was Pride of Baghdad. I'm sure you've heard
of it. Yeah, Brian Cable,
That one. And, you know, like, obviously, but in the horror world, I quite like those sort of the self-contained, almost cinematic-y style kind of books, really, and I think that's as a new reader,
one and done sort of read.
Yeah, and it's quite a good way to dip your toe back in. Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. I've read the sequel. I don't think I was a great fan of it. But yeah, just sort of that kind of sort of self-contained thing, because it's quite nice to sit through, almost like with a film. When it's done, you kind of think, what a good narrative journey you've been on, and then obviously expand it, because some of the sort of regular stuff, the long form, long serial stuff, I at the moment would probably struggle with, you know, if we're up to, I don't know what issue Walking Dead's on. But it's sort of like if you go onto Netflix and you think, oh, they've got a new show, what's this about? And you see season one of 17, and my initial reaction is just, well, fuck that. And then move on.
There's only so much time in your life, isn't there? Do you know what I mean? Stuff like that. Yes.
And it's a difficult one, because obviously that could be 17 seasons of pure gold. But it doesn't, that just seeing that kind of immediately makes me go, oh god, that's quite a commitment. And I don't know, sort of, that's why I quite like the trade paperbacks, the graphic novels, to sort of, you know, or the small runs, really. If I see issue one of four, almost immediately I'm sold.
Yeah.
Right, interesting. Most comics only last four issues these days anyway, so before they fail or they get rebooted. Yeah. So it's a good time to be alive.
I was going to say, DC 52 didn't last four, did they?
But I think that's interesting, though, like to get people to read. If they're asking you a question first, maybe it's good to sort of say, even if it's a one and done story, like a Kingdom Come sort of thing, to sort of say, right, here's that. And then if they come back for more, you can start them on an ongoing, do you know what I mean? Or a bigger thing.
I think the way a lot of comics are done, like the example you gave earlier of Hellboy, is you can kind of dip in. For most of it, you can kind of dip in, can't you?
Yeah.
You know, it's because it's told in that story arc thing.
Yeah.
And there's a few things, you know, characters that will still be there or won't be there, or when you'll think, where have they gone? But mostly it's a story, isn't it? You can dip in. And I think a lot of the European volumes are a bit like that. I know... Irinia, who's been emailing us this week, she says, oh, you can, you know, there's 8 volumes of this, but you can read any of them. There's not, you don't have to read the first one, you know. We had quite a few books from her like that this week. So I think we're kind of finding our feet, that you don't have to be entrenched in the story of Spider-Man from, you know, 1960, whatever it was, you know.
Like, we don't need another film telling us about Spidey's origin. It's kind of, everyone kind of knows it, and you just kind of get stuck in.
Exactly.
I mean, when we first went into comics, that's all you had. You just bought the issue, and there you went. There was no such thing as kind of getting the older ones. So you just had to kind of.
Yeah. I always compare it to Coronation Street. When somebody sits down and watches a soap opera for the first time, they don't want to know, oh, right, where is this based? Who's the first person in it? What happened in the first episode? You know, they just get into it, don't they?
Exactly.
Yeah, so basically what we're saying, I mean, you can tell by our stilted and hilarious conversation that recommending comics to new readers can be tricky. So whenever you're doing it, do it responsibly. But it's true, though, isn't it? Because, like, you know, I mean, we're all comics fans, so we have all the enthusiasm in the world.
It would be amiss not to mention Matt Garvey, the way he runs his comics, as in they're very much like for comic readers and non-comic readers, but yeah, they've got that hook to get people in,
yeah,
who would appreciate that kind of stuff.
Plus, one of the things that I like that Matt does is, you know, obviously he does well with the sales and stuff, but when a book's been out for a certain amount of time, it'll be free for a day. Do you know what I mean? And he'll shout the word out. So, you know, he just wants everyone to read comics.
Did he say something about you on Twitter today?
He probably says something about me every day on Twitter. But do you know what I mean?
Still my favourite picture is you two punching each other like at the end of Rocky.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. But, I'm not going to be nasty about him this week, because he does good work in the name of comics.
He does.
So.
He does. Yeah.
Yeah. So, we hope you enjoyed that topic, folks. And thank you, DC, for suggesting it, because it made
it's nice to focus our minds, isn't it? No worries sometimes. Yeah, thanks, man. Yeah, it was a really good suggestion. Yeah.
So, and for those who are wondering, a couple of us might be at the Comic Mart on the 2nd of September. Now, obviously, I had my Comic Mart cherry popped a couple of months ago. and I'm hoping to drag DC along with me. So, and I think once he's there, he'll be back hooked on the drugs that we all know and love.
And Dave's coming as well. We met in the last one. We've met Dave a few times. He's coming along.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, well, when is that, Tony? We're into the shout outs now. So that seems like.
Oh, okay, cool.
That seems a decent sort of segue, doesn't it?
Yeah. Very sexy.
Yeah.
It's actually the same weekend as NICE. So NICE, as I understand it, is the 1st and 2nd of September. So I'll be at NICE on the Saturday, and then I'll be at the Comic Mart on the Sunday is the plan. So if you're at NICE, which has got an amazing lineup, Don McGregor and Donny Cates at the same convention, it's going to be great.
Yeah. Anyone who listens to this show knows that I like a bit of Donny Cates in terms of comics.
Yeah. So good. And the amount of, I put a post up on the Facebook group, and the amount of people said, bloody hell, that's a great lineup. Mm. You know,
he created the isn't it the Galactic Ghost Rider that you love?
I just got the second issue. I haven't read it yet. I'm saving it for the stopping for a coffee on the way to Gloucester tomorrow, but the first issue is fucking ace. Oh my god, so good. Yeah
this actually DC, you probably don't know what we're talking about in terms of a space Ghost Rider. Look it up.
With the power cosmic.
He's got the power cosmic.
I know of Space Ghost and I know of Ghost Rider.
Yeah. Well, this will blow your mind, and I think we can tell him who it is, can't we?
Yeah, go on.
Yeah. Who? Because it was a big mystery who the Space Ghost Rider was, and it is indeed Frank Castle.
Yeah.
So.
What?
That's exactly what I thought, and he's quite funny as well, isn't he, Tony? So
yeah, so and he starts off the series starts with him in Asgard, I think, on the piss, I think.
So it's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out.
As long as it hasn't got a fucking Venom symbiote on it.
Yeah, Christ.
Yeah.
I'm not. I hate to be a downer, but I'm not excited about that film. I'm not fussed.
I think the trailer's very poorly put together.
Yeah.
I think it gives you the entire beats of the film, which is kind of like...
Oh, yeah, totally.
I just don't know if the world was crying out for a Venom film.
Yeah, no. I agree. Yeah.
Apparently,
I think, unfortunately, people remember it from the original Spider-Man run of films, don't they? And they must think, not that again.
Did you see the news as well, just related to that they've confirmed a Kraven standalone film is in development?
Really?
Yeah, what we've all been screaming for. Absolutely. We've all wanted that one.
Yeah. It's actually John Kraven.
Yeah.
Just goes around doing
news
birds.
Rounds.
I mean, the feathered kind.
Kraven.
There was news out. But one of those two Joker films we're making was going to be set in the 80s, and it was going to be darker than anything they'd done before.
Oh, really?
I don't think you're taking away why your previous films have been failing. It's not because they weren't dark enough.
Yeah, I know that De Niro's been announced as being in one of them, isn't he? And I know people think that's a sign of quality, but De Niro would literally go to your fridge opening if you gave that money.
He did that. Fight, so
anytime someone says that, I just say Rocky Bullwinkle.
Yeah. Bad grandpa.
There's no need for that. Oh, Dan. Oh, why?
Yeah. That boat has sailed.
Yeah, it has. Yeah. As much as I love Goodfellas and Casino and Taxi Driver, he'd just do anything for money now, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Oh, dear.
Like us. There you go.
Yeah. So, anyway, Nice is on.
Nice is on. So, go to the Comic Mart on the Sunday. It's a fiver if you want to go in between 11 and 12. And I've got to tell you, it's probably not a bad time to go in because it's quieter. And you can get some of the bargains that are on sale. And if you after 12, it's free. It's the Royal Russell Hotel, I think it's called. No, Royal Bedford Hotel in Russell Square, something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
It's near to Russell Square Tube, between there and Euston. There's like a couple of restaurants attached, a couple of bars. There's like a little area you can sit about outside. It's a very social event. I know John Bishop's going to be there. Shout out to John.
Yeah.
So there's a few of us going to be there. So if you pop along, it's going to be a good day, and you can walk away. I did a piece on price in the comics this week and suggested that we might be getting ripped off on occasion. But if that's a place you're not going to get ripped off, you can have a rucksack full of comics and head home for, a tenner. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good for that.
Yeah. So, Comic Mart and Nice. And do we have any other shout-outs, gents?
I have one.
Go for it.
Congratulations, past guest and our pal, who also was at the last Comic Mart we went to, although I didn't get to speak to him, David Hathaway Price. Fanzine, which is the sort of free magazine that he put together to celebrate the 50 years from the first British fanzine, is the bestseller at Sequential.
Yeah,
it's the
top
seller on the site. So look at us. Me and Dan are in it, aren't we? Look at us, top selling authors that we are. Yeah. it's a great magazine, and it's also on Comic House. You can find it there. Yeah, nice. It's well worth a read. Some really interesting stuff in there. Mm. A lot of little strips and pin-ups and pages of art and stuff like that. Really good. Yeah.
Another congrats for another former guest. Oh, Mark Penman, MD Penman, got married.
Oh, yeah.
He got some of the photos.
Yeah, and Katie Hanratty got married in Iceland. So congratulations.
Yeah, it looked great, didn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, they're having a great old time. So there you go. You can just feel the love. Love is all around, isn't it?
Yeah, we've got a little shout out coming, but we can't reveal who it is. But someone did reach out to us today suggesting they come on the show, and I literally ran around the garden with my T-shirt pulled over my head for about half an hour.
We've got a little planning to do and some sorting out, but yeah, there could be some yet more exciting news all over the shop for the next couple of months on this show, actually.
Yeah, if you like Bedlam, well, you might to download this, you might need to get yourself a new microchip.
Yeah,
how's that?
Yeah,
there goes a little hint.
And also, if you're a fan of nocturnal countryside animals,
very true. Mm. Yeah.
Do you think that was quite good? Oh, it wasn't.
Yeah,
so
that was good.
Like
on
that.
Yeah, very good.
So there you go. Now we're on the end road, and it's time to recommend some books. We've got some. Or just stuff for you wonderful people to check out this week while we're setting up the next show. Who wants to go first?
Shall I go first? Because I think you're going to chip in, aren't you, Vince?
I will chip in a little bit, yes.
Yeah, cool. We got the opportunity this week to get a really early copy of this. And it was sent through, and the person who sent it through to us said the only people who'd seen it are the publisher, her partner, and her best friend. So this was really nice of her to send it through. And it's a book that I know we've been waiting for. We've talked about it for a while. And a lot of our listeners messaged me and say, look, they're waiting, desperate to see this when it comes out. It's Follow Me In by Catriona Chapman, Kat Chapman. Kat's a friend of ours, and this is next level stuff, I've got to tell you. I'm going to say this has got awards written on it because it's so well done. It's 248 pages, full colour, hardcover. Talking of pricing, it's a great price, $18.99 for 248 page hardcover.
That's amazing. And also, the printed copy is going to be high quality. It's going to be a high quality book as well. So
gorgeous, The cover is basically it's an autobiographical comic, but don't be put off by that because it's a combination of a number of things. So it's not just like wandering around a flat worrying about how our cats are, there's real depth, real adventure to this one. And the cover is Kat herself standing in a what looks like a sort of jungle somewhere. with lizards, and there's a skeleton with a snake around its neck standing there in a sort of floppy hat looking at her, and she's sort of staring back at it. It is an exceptional cover. This book should sell on its cover. This and Tim Bird's recent book from Avery Hill, both absolutely splendid. You know, the story. So Kat has had no responsibilities and nothing to tie her down, but she had graduated university with no plans. She was an artist who hadn't drawn in 5 years, and she was lost. What's more, she's been avoiding and admitting to herself something that all those around her knew, that her boyfriend Richard had some serious problems with alcohol. Looking for a fresh start, the two of them quit their jobs and embark on a journey to Mexico. For what would they expect to be an adventure of a lifetime? It led to experiences, changed both their lives, and to Kat rediscovering a love of art, a lifelong attachment to Mexico, and gathering the sort of personal strength to move on from her relationship. And it opens, it bookends. It opens very recently. So Kat is standing outside of King's Cross train station, which incidentally is where I read this book. I was reading the first couple of pages. I thought, I can see that tower where she's standing outside. And she's looking at her watch standing outside, obviously waiting for someone. And it turns out she's actually waiting for Richard, who's her ex-partner. And she meets with him. They go for a coffee and she basically says, look, I want to do a comic about our trip. And it's obviously like there was an emotional time for her and him. And he sort of reasonably easily says, yeah, okay, I agree. And they have a conversation. And what you then get, you then get an autobiographical comic that is firstly gorgeous, like amazing to look at full colour. But it's a story of their trip to Mexico, where they stay for quite a few months and they travel about and they're careful with their money and they go and see various sites and they get to speak to locals and stuff like that. She changes gears from that sort of prologue opener. What she does is she immediately throws you into a big full page spread of a Mexican town, which they are in. And you get the sort of the roofs and the forest around and the hills behind it, and the sort of, you know, like the Magnificent Seven church, you know, the one they fight in Magnificent Seven. There's one of them sitting in the background. Have you seen this page yet, Vince, of you, or?
Probably. I mean, I've just been looking at all the pages and drooling.
Yeah.
It's really well done.
It's just absolutely. Yeah.
I've yet to read it through, but I've looked I've looked through it.
Yeah. Yeah. I've made a start on it and got a good part of the way through it, but Kat's work. I mean, we've always been fans from like Kat Zine and stuff like that anyway, and obviously she was great when she was on the show.
One of our first guests, actually.
Yeah,
wasn't she?
I love her style of work. I think it's some of the nicest stuff out there, without a shadow of a doubt. I can't remember whether it's digital or physical that she does.
I'm not sure, actually. Because maybe a combination.
Because some of
it's definitely a combination, because there's some actual sketchbook pages.
Yeah.
Because she rediscovers drawing and draws in a sketchbook, and she inserts some of the pages from the actual time into the comic, which is a really nice touch.
Actually. I mean, if there aren't original pages out there to get, she should offer some lovely prints just of like pages without anything, because it's just absolutely stunning, absolute next level. I mean, the cover alone is just let's have that on my wall. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I agree, mate. Completely. Yeah it's so well coloured as well.
Yeah.
There's one bit that there's a few bits that really stuck out for me, but in the opening first act, I suppose you would call it, she's at the Day of the Dead festival with Richard, her boyfriend, and she's waiting for the tour coach to arrive, and she does faces so well. Her facial acting has improved so much in this book. You can tell what everyone's thinking by their look on their face, which is really good for something in a 248 page comic, you know, the amount of effort that's gone into it. And she waits and he turns up and he's throwing up and drunk. And she's sort of, he's not terribly embarrassed, sort of mortified, embarrassed of him, you know, in front of all these people. And she gets him on the coach and they end up, you know, in a rowboat, and they row out to this island where all the lights are and the candles and this, Day of the Dead festival is going on. And there's this page, it's only five panels, but the top three panels are horizontal, and it's just her grabbing a moment where she looks away from everyone else and reaches out the boat and sort of sweeps her hand through the water and touches the sort of greeny blue water and then looks back at her boyfriend. And it's just so well done. It's saying stuff without having to sort of exposition it out, you know. Really good. They travel about a lot, and you see all different areas. I mean, I learned the stuff about Mexico, I didn't know loads of stuff. What I'm impressed with her is that she puts Spanish into it. So when she's speaking to townspeople, because they didn't really have a great grasp of Spanish while they were there, And they were replying to them in Spanish. We don't get a subtitle to it. I know it's a weird thing to say, but I didn't really want one in this case. I wanted to the reality of what they were seeing, their story. And you don't get, I think I put in the piece I wrote, but it's, you don't get subtitled running along reality, do you?
No.
You know, you don't, as you speak to a, you know, someone speaking a foreign language, you don't get that running along the bottom. So she travels about, but she inserts into it little bits of history. So you learn about the area, you learn about the wildlife, you learn about the art, you learn about the food, what you should eat and what you don't eat. And she's quite ill at one point and has to go to a medical center, and you sort of realize what, you know, what's a good thing to do if you're in Mexico, if you're ill. Do you know what I mean? She doesn't paint Richard completely as the villain of the piece, I have to say, although he is difficult at points, you know, and it is very real. But she does deal with his alcoholism really well and really realistically. And being stuck, not stuck in a relationship, but being in a relationship with someone you care about, and they do have this sort of problem. Because he's not like a drunk every day. He'll just drink to, you know, drink too much every so often. And she began to realise. And at one point she just says, I've run out of energy. And it is really, really well done. Very sort of poignant at these points. Loads of stuff, loads of themes, loads of subjects. It is what it is. It's months and months and months spent in a foreign country where the main company is just you and your partner. And it really reflects that, because they do meet the odd person who speaks English, but it's rare. I'll tell you the other thing I noticed as well is it's a good idea to start keeping diaries and sketchbooks, because this, you know, think of the laughs and the jokes and the life that we've led at even just at comic conventions between the three of us. You know, the stuff that we could have written comics about from that, you know, if we'd have remembered it all. As it happened, you know. And she has kept these detailed sketchbooks, which started again from her, you know, I think she did art at uni or something like that. And then she hasn't drawn for years, and she's gone back on this holiday, and she's promised herself she'll draw. And in after a particularly difficult sort of session with her boyfriend, she goes out and draws, and then she finds this sort of moment. And it's really well done. It does feel very real. The whole of it does reflect the emotions that you find between two people. I mean, it could be anywhere. It could be in Scotland. It could be in America. But it just so happens this is in Mexico, you know. But the richness of the local environment and the culture and stuff does come through. Really good. There's a moment with a dog that, like, literally almost broke my heart. I almost just messaged Kat saying, have you seen that bit of you?
No.
Oh, God. There's one bit with a dog and you think, oh, Kat, no. But
it's good that it can elicit that reaction.
Exactly. Yeah, totally. Go to averyhillpublishing.bigcartel.com. Follow them on Twitter at averyhillpubl. You can find Kat at www.katrionachapman.com and follow her on Twitter at Kat Chapman. As I understand it, this is going to get a wider release at Thought Bubble.
Yeah.
Definitely, you can pre-order now. There's a great deal for the three books, all of which are quality. Three books coming out of Thought Bubble. I think you can get all three of them for £50, which is a great deal. I know Dave talked about it when he was on the show a few weeks ago. Outstanding work. Absolutely brilliant. Well, easily am I running for Book of the Year.
Nice.
We've got
some fantastic books for that end of year show. It's going to be brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, who's next?
I haven't got one, so I'm letting the side down there.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. I've been drawing
and doing a ton of other stuff.
You've been busy, and you've only just got back from a holiday anyway. So there you go.
Well, I'll tell you what we have got coming up. We've got the release of issue 3's cover, haven't we? Aren't you revealing that this week?
Yes, we are going to the Awesome Comics Anthology. Issue 3 is coming soon.
Because this is the red cover, isn't it? We're focusing on the story.
Yeah,
so we're doing a story each for the three after the first one, aren't we?
Yeah.
And it's been... you'll see how glorious it is, but it's been done by, speaking of Marvel movies, it's been done by one of the storyboarders from Black Panther and the Avengers. And it'll blow you away. It's great,
and the cover's great, so we're going to be announcing that this coming week, so stay tuned to our Twitter, etc. So we're going to have fun announcing that. So, and the comics coming along lovely as well, so but we'll shout that out at the end of the show in the shout-out.
Okay.
Before we ask the guests, I'm going to do mine. Now this one is Carew Volume 1, although I think it's a one and done. Anyone who's followed me on Twitter, I post up some sneak peeks about it. But if you don't know what it is, here it is. There's a wonderfully simple setup, okay?
Right.
This is a 102-page book for mature audiences. I'll say that from the outset. It's written, drawn, and lettered by Brian Flint, who is a Massachusetts-based comic artist. Whose bio says he's got a crippling fear of chimpanzees and emus, which ties into something. But yes, basically, this book is about a tribe of Neanderthals who return home after years hunting mammoths. But only in their absence, a meteor has crashed into the valley that they used to call home, creating a vast cave and turning a large group of chimpanzees into vampires. That's right. Vampire chimpanzees. Yes. Yes. I mean, immediately, if that doesn't sell you, what will? I mean, literally on Comixology, the synopsis was a small tribe of Neanderthals fight to survive the night being hunted by a troop of vampire chimpanzees. And then I bought it. It's as simple as that. I mean, you don't need a long, vast synopsis of your story when you've got a log line that just absolutely just buys you in. But anyway, yeah, the story goes that despite warnings, there's these two sort of old crones, witches, who have basically watched, you know, they've been hidden away as the monkeys have, like, turned into these monsters because basically an alien meteor has mutated things. And that classic sort of 80s VHS horror kind of way. But despite their warnings, the tribe don't make it out of the valley before nightfall, whether it's just them being stubborn, but the sun goes down and then they have to survive the night against all these monsters. Now, that's a simple setup, and I love this book. It's black and white survival horror that's brutal, bloody, kinetic, and brilliant. I mean apart from the K word, I could use a loads of B words for this. It's absolutely amazing. 102 pages, and I just went through it like a knife through butter. It was brilliant. I couldn't put it down. Cool. Once I finished reading it, it felt like those. I had that sort of feeling. Remember those times back in the day when you sort of used to like going to a video rental store, and you just pick a movie. You'd have like probably the mainstream ones, and then you'd pick another choice, wouldn't you? You know, something just off the shelf because it just looked cool.
Yeah.
You know, it could be a random sort of no budget horror or something like that.
Yeah.
And then you watch that film, and then once it's finished, you realise you just watched something like awesomely badass that's now one of your favourites. Do you know what I mean? That must be how so many of the classic cult sort of horror franchises are discovered. But this has that sort of feel. By the end of it, I was like, bloody hell, you can't get. I mean, to what DC said earlier, you couldn't get this anywhere else but comics, what this book does. Because there wouldn't be the budget for it, really. But it also has that sort of left field, sort of unbridled sense of energy that says just fuck it, and like puts its foot on the accelerator, and it just doesn't stop until the last bit of gore is spilled, and that's quite a bit of gore, despite this being black and white, and it's like stark black and white sort of artwork. I mean, I can't really do any sort of comparisons because Flint's artwork is just a beautiful thing to behold anyway. Full of shadows and heavy blacks. You know, you could say, you know, Andy Bloor's sort of work is heavy blacks, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe like Richard Corbin. Is it Richard Corbin? Yeah, I've got the name
right. Yeah, it could be.
Yeah, sort of stuff.
Yeah, I've seen a little bit, and I can see what you mean by that. Yeah definitely.
Yeah, and this full-on action as well. Do you know what I mean? That, you know, there's no gunshots or anything because this is all set in the past. And like, eyes are gouged out, guts are spilled, the fights are amazing. That one of the Neanderthals is pregnant. She's a pregnant woman, and she jumps right into the fight and just absolutely rips up loads of chimpanzees. But that's not to say she's safe, because no one is safe in this book. As the story certainly took a couple of turns where I was reading it, I was like, oh, that person's dead. Which is what you kind of want. You want unexpected sort of deaths in horror sort of books, don't you? Anyway. And I think the monsters also go beyond just being a one-note joke. Because you think vampire chimps, and you think, oh yeah, that's a funny. That's, you know, that's going to be hilarious. This ain't funny. This isn't.
Right, good.
And if you think about chimpanzees in real life, they're pretty terrifying.
They'll rip your face off.
They will rip you. Yeah, and that's even when they're not vampires. Yeah. So it's that sort of chimpanzees we're looking at here. You know, bloodthirsty, just brutal. Absolutely tear people apart. And there's wonderful sort of moments of playing with shadows as well. They'll just come out of the shadows, grab someone, and then pull them back into the darkness. You know, those great sort of horror moments. But yeah, chimpanzees are terrifying. You turn them into brutal supernatural monsters, and yeah, you've got a winner. And not only that, there's some, I don't want to call it, well, creature effects. I couldn't think of any other way to say it. But there's some things later on that is not unlike the sort of thing you would see in something like The Thing. So, you know, there's some creature sort of work there that is just a massive ticket for awesome. And it's pretty, pretty graphic and nightmarish. But I loved it. Yeah, a brilliant book. I mean, some of the panels just absolutely blew me away. So much so, I read this on Comixology and I stopped just to go back. And it was an interesting. We've talked about The Guide of You before. And that was how I read this. And there was one panel, there's one sort of sequence where you're seeing like a close-up of this chimpanzee's face as the sun's going down, and you can see the sun going down reflected in this chimpanzee's eyes. Now on Comixology, because I did The Guide of You, that was beautiful, sort of like full screen on my Kindle, you know, and it just it looks stunning. You could see every line and shadow. But then when I quickly read through it again once I finished, you know, saw the full pages, I noticed that was three sort of small panels at the bottom of a page, and that was fascinating to me. The Guide of You really took it to another level, made it something else. I mean, the panels are still nice, you know, that page is still nice, but I got so much more out of it because of that Guide of You.
And that changes the pacing of it. It changes you the speed that you go through it, doesn't it? When you think that was probably just three panels you'd scan quickly with your eye at the bottom of a page.
Yeah.
But to do that, it changes the emphasis, doesn't it? You know what I mean? Sometimes.
And it creates like cliffhangers that aren't necessarily there with a full page.
Definitely.
Like someone could be talking and then all of a sudden something has killed them. But sometimes when you pan out and you see the whole page, you see that whole story happen on one page, and it wouldn't have been as shocking.
Yeah.
Seeing it in one thing. There's one panel. I mean, I could pick loads of panels that I'd want as a print, but there's one amazing shot that I'm going to have to post on the pod group where one of the characters, you know, the classic sort of thing, the survivor travels into the cave to take on the beasts in their home territory, that sort of thing, which is brilliantly done. But when they walk into the cave, they're like bats hung from the ceiling, but they're all chimpanzees. It's hard to do. So you've got like,
is this a series or is this a one-off?
It's one-off. It's one and done. 102 pages. Just I think it might have been a Kickstarter because he did some thank yous in the back and had some prints.
Right.
And stuff.
Okay. Interesting.
I mean, it's obviously an American creator. It's something I knew nothing about before. And interesting thing as well is he's put intervals in it. There's you get to a certain point and it says we'll come back after these messages. And he does another, like a one or two page short. You know, he's just done a short just to put in the middle of it. One of them's called The Mission Specialist Conrad, which is like about a dead astronaut. And there's another one called The Secret Origin of Brad. These are a bit more funny than the actual sort of main strip itself. But Brad is basically is a weird science fiction alternative take on Hitler. Now, you just got to see that to... See it for yourself. That's all I'm going to say. It's very well done. The only slight minor inconsistency that I found was towards the beginning with some of the dialogue lettering. We've mentioned it before, the uses of I's, you know, the capital I's and lowercase I's and stuff. And Brian's used the same font that I used for the Red Mask lettering. So I noticed some capital, you know. That was only at the beginning, but once I was in, he seemed to like find a flow. And like that steadies itself out. It's more for the first few pages, but I think if you read comics digitally, you should definitely check it out. 102 pages for $2.99 on Comixology, and the cover alone sold a lot of people, I think, when I put it on Twitter. So definitely check it out, because Carew Volume 1 is a brilliant example of when you know nothing about a book, sometimes just give it a go. You never know. And I love this. I'd love to have a printed copy of it. You know. If it didn't cost so much to ship over to the UK.
If he wants to send it for free.
Well, there you go. Yeah. 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 If he loves me. So that's my one. So, DC, do you have anything you want to give our lovely listeners to check out?
What, besides my own books?
Yeah.
No, I joke. Yeah. I joke. It's I wish I had a laundry list of things to recommend. But I've obviously. I have been a lot of work lately, but I've basically been watching some things, and I'm not sure. I was just curious, I suppose, just for you before it all signs off, about what your opinions are of the Preacher TV show, because that's
I need to catch up on it, mate. Yeah, I need to catch up. I watched the first couple, and just life's got in the way, but I'm desperate to watch. I've downloaded two episodes to watch tomorrow on the
Yeah, because like, because yeah. as a Preacher fan, I know the show's it's completely now its own thing, but I think the spirit and the tone of some of it, they've kind of, as best they could, of course, maintained some of that, specifically with Pip Torrens as Hairstar, who I think is absolute
God,
gold.
He's so good. I would say.
Who's he, Cassidy or?
No, he's Hairstar.
I've not got to that bit yet.
He's a character, much like the Saint of Killers. They're the two that sort of, like, whenever they're on screen, it's just amazing.
Exactly. As a fan of the comic book, it's one of those things that sort of, despite some of the changes they've done, some of the choices that you may or may not agree with, the Saint of Killers and Hairstar, both of them land perfectly, I think.
Yeah.
Right. Good.
Yeah.
I would just recommend if you're a fan of the books or whatever, just to watch it on Amazon.
I think the first series for some was a bit slow, and the second series was absolutely mental. I wasn't so much a fan of the second series, but I really think that the third season has hit. For me, it's been more like the original sort of source material.
In terms
of like theme and source and how they're tying in some of the stuff is brilliant.
I bowed out like about 3 or 4 episodes into the second season. I just wasn't really doing it for me.
Yeah, it went a bit too far. Yeah, I lost. You know, I got through. I watched all of the second season, but as DC knows, I wasn't a massive fan of it. But as soon as the third one came on, I thought, right, okay, we're in Angelville now, and this is interesting because I loved.
No, it's okay. I'll check that out
because that arc is one of the finest arcs in the actual original source material, anyway, isn't it? The Angelville stuff. So.
Yeah.
No spoilers.
Come on.
Yeah. No,
sorry.
No.
The Pope.
Oh, right, good.
Oh God, yeah. The Pope. Oh. Yeah. No spoilers, but yeah, it's definitely interesting. It'd be interesting to see if it keeps going. Yeah.
Yeah. So my main worry is I didn't find Custer to be as hard as nails because he's a tough geezer in the comic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I found him a bit of a sort of short, pretty boy.
I think Cassidy and Tulip have been pretty spot on, but Custer, for me in the book, and I don't know what you think about this, DC, is like in the book you're always with him, you're always supporting him. You know, he's the hero, isn't he? It's like you say, you have to.
It's almost from his viewpoint, isn't it? Yeah,
you have to be a good man because there's far too many of the bad, and it's been hard to root for him in the earlier seasons, but it's starting to turn around now because the introduction. Of a major part of the series, I'm not going to spoil it for you, but there's a major part of the books that I always thought they weren't going to do, and they're doing it, aren't they, DC? Yeah, I think you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe I'll get back into it.
I think, you know, ultimately that kind of, because he lacked that kind of moral compass thing, certainly throughout the first couple of seasons, where you were sort of, no matter what, you know, Jesse Custer was always a sort of a good man, and there was a little bit sort of, I don't know, they didn't sort of quite nail that feeling, but they've definitely developed it on season 3 and they've dialed up the craziness as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because for me, like, I look at my Sky Plus box and I look at Netflix and I think there's literally television there that I know I won't get round to until I retire.
Yeah.
You know, because there's so much to watch. And I absolutely love Preacher. I remember buying issue 1 and I adore and have reread that, and my son's reread it and read it. And I don't know, it was just something about the slowness of the first season that I said, I'll go back to that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I will do. I keep hearing people going, nah, it's brilliant now. You've got to get on it. And I will do, I think, now. Yeah.
I mean, that's not to say it's not going to be hard in places because, like I say, I almost checked. I mean, DC's loved it all the way through. I mean, I almost checked out in the second season. Butcher checked out in the second season. But I think.
Yeah, and I understand that as well, you know, whether you're a fan or a not fan. I think, to me, it's almost as though they've started to find, by going and embracing some of the craziness now and some of the sort of full on Ennis-ness.
Yeah.
Of it, it's actually worked for the better of it.
Yeah.
I think perhaps they were playing it safe, maybe trying to hedge their bets a little bit.
Yeah.
And I think they've just gone, nah, fuck it, let's just go with it.
Yeah.
And it kind of works.
It's weird, isn't it? As hardcore comic fans, I'm actually finding that my TV sort of, if you want to call it for a better word, box set viewing is being influenced by the comics I read. So I read Desert Star and immediately went and watched Hateful Eight and loved it. And then I'm reading, seemingly Bond Dessiné seems to be obsessed with Rome.
Yeah.
The Cowboys in Rome. There's loads of Rome books on there. And I'm reading a couple of them, Eagles of Rome being one of them. So I've gone and watched Spartacus, the TV series.
That's fucking great, that TV series.
That's fucking brutal.
Yeah.
That's Stephen DeKnight, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because he's doing the Jupiter's Legacy thing.
Oh, is he? Oh, okay. Personally, yeah. From a point of view, there's a little too many dongs for my liking in it.
There's, yeah, they don't. There's no. They're not shy about that.
Limit? What's the ceiling limit of dongs? What's the number where you tap out?
I'm going to say two an episode.
Two an episode.
Yeah.
Sometimes there's like a whole room of naked dudes just walking around. Like,
yeah, there's. I've seen something in season two which just happened where a man wheezes in another man's face, and I'm like, yeah, I didn't need to see the actual dong for that to have an effect. But yeah, but it's an amazing series. I love that they've done it. That someone's had the bottle to do that TV series. Yeah.
There's one where like one dude's standing there, like, he's sitting there with his lady, and like this pissed dude comes up and he's waving his cock around. He goes, "My cock is magic," and he goes, "Well, see it disappear from sight." And it's just like, okay, that's in a TV show. That's fucking great.
I mean, there's a good documentary about the guy from the first series as well. I think that's
I must watch that.
Andy something.
It's very tragic. But he just seemed like such a good guy.
Anyway, just interesting that people watch TV and then think, "Oh, I read a comic about that," but I actually start doing it in the reverse.
Well, you're gonna get back onto the Cowboys for when they make Deadwood, aren't you, Tony? Come on.
Yes, mate. Yes. I fucking love Deadwood.
Oh God,
I fucking love it.
Best shows ever. Yeah.
Yeah. But, can I give a little worthy mention to at the end of the recommends?
Yeah.
Is we haven't mentioned them for over a year now. I checked earlier. But Two Morrows, who do a series of book or magazines on comics. So I'm a subscriber to the Jack Kirby Collector and Back Issue, and issue 105 is an Earl Norum cover. It's actually a recreation of, or I think it's a direct copy of, one of the covers to Deadly Hands of Kung Fu, and it's 70s martial arts comic special, and it's fucking outstanding. There's a long article on Shang-Chi, that you name it, it's in this book. Bronze Tiger, Hands of the Dragon, if anyone remembers the Atlas comic Hands of the Dragon. Just outstanding. There's even a piece on Muhammad Ali versus Superman, which is a whole other. There could be a book on that comic, I've got to tell you. The messing about that happened in that. But so what they do is also they stick some original artwork in there, some adverts from the time. They stick in how it's changed, what's happened in it. They have little interviews with the creators. There's a great Roy Thomas interview in this, which follows on from the Word Balloon interview last week. There's even an article on Hong Kong Fooey, which is ace, and it's got a load of the original designs in it. Really, really good. Danny O'Neill's interviewed in it. Now, tell me, does anyone know who played Bronze Tiger in the Arrow TV series?
Yes, I do.
Yep, go on.
Michael Jai White.
Yes. How good is that? Yeah.
There's a little answer there. One of his best films for me was, is it Blood and Bone? Is that what it's called?
Yes, the prison movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's quality. A brutal movie, isn't it? Yeah. And for those Bronze Age kids out there, Count Dante, anyone know who was? It was an advert.
Like
that's
the martial arts one, wasn't it?
It's like an advert in comics, in the back of comics and the black and white comic magazines. And apparently he had Dim Mack, the Death Touch. And they used to you could buy a book if you wrote, you cut the bit out and wrote into it, and he would send you Deadliest Fighting Secrets. But Count Dante also turned up in Super Soldiers in the Marvel UK series. He turned up as one of the characters in that. So I don't know how they got the rights for that, but he did. But yeah, Back Issue is such a great source of nostalgia for me, and it's well worth it. It's slightly expensive, $8.99, but well worth it. There you go.
Nice.
You see my other one.
Nice. So there you go. Plenty more for you people to check out and basically divulge. Hopefully cool. You've enjoyed this episode. It was a good fun for us. Yeah. Let us know what you thought. I mean, maybe you didn't agree with our recommendations or the voices we used when we were doing them. but you can email us awesomecomicspod@gmail.com to let us know your thoughts. You can follow us on Twitter @TheAwesomePod, where we'll be announcing future guests and topics, etc. If you go to the Book of Faces, facebook.com/awesomecomicspodcast. Likewise, if you're on Facebook, join the group Awesome Comics Talk, where you can have discussions about this episode and comic making comics, selling comics, all kinds of things. We'll probably post up a couple of things based on this episode alone. And it's a great community there. We love you all. And if you want to read our comic that everyone on this show has had something to do with, yes, the Awesome Comics Anthology, of which there are two issues out at the moment. You can get them in hard copy and digital from awesomecomicpod.bigcartel.com. So we will have some left. We haven't sold out at Troops. So, you know. And if you've read it and you loved it, and you, we want a letter from you. Let us know what you thought of the story. Yeah. So, and send those letters and fan art. We've got some great fan art from next issue. Awesomecomics.podbean. No, what am I talking about? It's tony.awesomecomicspod@gmail.com.
Hey.
Oh, I'm too eager to stop talking to you people. No, yes, send your letters to tony.awesomecomicspod@gmail.com, and you'll see your name in print.
We've got some fan art in as well, haven't we? Yeah. Some listener art. It's looking great. Yeah.
Next issue is going to be a cracking one. Thank you for listening to us, whether it was on the website, awesomecomics.podbean.com. If you listen to us on iTunes, subscribe, leave a review. It helps get the word out. And the more people listen to the show, the more people that discover some great comics. And we'll be hearing from some amazing guests very soon, as well as this week's wonderful guest, of course. Now,
I sense that we're going to have a European special again soon.
There's definitely a lot.
We had a little reach out for that, haven't we?
There's a lot of exciting things coming in the pipeline. And likewise, if you do Spotify, listen to us on Spotify. We're there now. So there you go. And I can actually track what episodes have been listened to on Spotify. So it's just quite interesting.
Oh, can you?
I'll let you guys know afterwards. And if you listen to us on the other networks, Stitcher, Podnose, Podknife, what other networks are we on, Tony?
You can go to Pod 0898, Call Me Marge.
Yep. So if you listen to us on that one, thank you, despite everything. Now, where can people find us online, etc.? I mean Tony.
Ezohyz, neverhindanything.blogspot.co.uk. I put up a bit of a piece on pricing this week, which got a lot of really interesting replies and a fuckload of reads. So go over there and have a read of that, where we talk about what is good pricing, what is bad pricing, and how we might be getting ripped off by some of the big companies. There you go.
Interesting. Yeah. Dan Butcher, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Vanguard Comic, and you can read Vanguard at vanguardcomic.com.
Which you should, because it's awesome.
Thank you.
And you can find me on Twitter at Jester Diablo, and you can find out more about my comic at theredmaskfrommars.com. And once again, thank you, Dan, for joining us this week.
Cheers.
It's been awesome. We'll probably be hearing more from you in the future. Now, where can people find you and your work?
I can be found on Twitter at Daniel Mark Chant. That's Mark with a C, just to be extra wanky. And or you can also go to sinisterhorrorcompany.com as well for the official site.
Yeah, which you should, because his books are great.
Yes.
Now, thank you for listening, everyone. Go forth. Enjoy, hopefully, the last of this good weather. I just want this hot weather to stop.
Good weather?
You know what I mean. Like, I'm just trying to be positive, even though we're all dying here. But you know, I'm just anyway. Wherever you are, whenever you're listening, we hope you have a brilliant week. Read loads of cool comics. Stay tuned to the Awesome Pod, and look forward to what we've got coming up. And as always, from Dan, Tony, and myself, have a brilliant week. And as always, what do they do, guys?
Stay awesome.
Butcher is the only one that does it.
Oh, thank God someone's backing me up, Dan.
Oh, seriously. What?
You know what? You and me are going to have words. Right. See you, folks.
Love you. See ya. Bye.